Don't you appreciate our choir and our choir director, our pianist, and all the others that help us minister through music? If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. I thought I had it here. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading in just a moment. I had it marked and I lost it. But the title of the sermon today is Selfies. Now, selfie was the 2013 word of the year. It was selected because of its common practice and potentially far-reaching consequences. We find that in 2013, it was added to the Oxford Dictionary, and all other commonly used dictionaries followed suit. The term is defined as a self-portrait taken with a camera or a smartphone. And the word selfie has been around since 2002, but only began to enjoy increasing popularity in the social media world last year when the smartphone truly began to take over the mobile market. A group selfie, that is, a few of you in a selfie, is called a super selfie. And my guess is that many in the congregation today, here today, have taken a selfie. Or grandparents, you may have been a victim of your grandchild's super selfie. But if this is new to you, let me demonstrate it for you. This is a smartphone. And you turn it on, and there is a camera here. And the way that you normally take pictures is I take a picture of the choir. Oh, y'all look so nice. And then if I want to do a selfie, I turn it around. And I either make a goofy face or I try to look as good as I can, but I take my picture. I'm taking my picture, I think. It's on video? Oh, that's what it was. I'm taking a video. I'm taking a selfie video. Yeah, like this. Now, I'm not going to share that with you, but I wanted you to understand what a selfie is before I begin. We find that the word is obviously derived from the word self, and it's been dubbed by many who are not as appreciative of selfies as some are as a selfish photo, meaning no one else is in it, and the person taking the photo is the one in it and took it and proud of it. And many times you'll see that they are posted on social media like Facebook. But you know, there's a lot of talk today about self. And this new popularity in talking about self could take our society in a new direction, I'm afraid. I'm talking about the direction of me first and others second. Now, I would submit to you that most people don't think of themselves as thinking more highly of themselves than others. I know I've never really thought about myself as giving such an impression to people around me, but this past week I've been paying attention to my words and my conversations. And I really did not know how much I used I and my as I did, because my heart was saying you and yours, but my lips were saying more about I and my. This new phrase in Christian circles, I am second, and the many videos that are out, is probably a better goal when talking about my relationship with God and with others. I wonder if you find yourself saying, I think, or my experience has been, or this is the way it should be, before you ever ask others about how it should be done or what their opinion is or what their experiences have been. We can say it's not about me or I am second all day long, but if we stop and listen to ourselves, we may all find our conversations more in line with a selfie than it is with the scriptures. And I think our scripture today may give us something to ponder about this idea of selfies and those who do not agree with it. If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word, beginning with Romans 12, the first verse. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. May God give his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. You see, in contrast, the Bible asserts that the chief end of man is to be a living sacrifice in order to glorify God. There is another philosophy that's very popular, which affirms self. And the chief good of self is the fulfillment of yourself, gratification, and pleasure-seeking instincts and dispositions. In other words, this philosophy teaches the chief end of man is gratification of self, not the glorification of God. The English word for this line of thought is hedonism, a term derived from two Greek words that we find in James chapter 4, where it lists lust and pleasures. Now, I'm not proposing that anyone who takes a selfie or uses the words my or I are hedonist, but I would say that the emphasis on ourselves has the potential of obscuring every Christian's real desire and what it should be. That is to be a living sacrifice in order to glorify God. Our scripture today is pretty directive. It reads that we are to be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I don't have to define living for you. We pretty much understand that we are living as long as God gives us breath. In other words, we don't have to die to be a sacrifice. However, the term sacrifice is one that some may need to ponder. I really believe we need to ponder and pray about it, and really pray about what it means to be a holy and acceptable sacrifice to God, to be a living sacrifice. You know, there are those that criticize those of us who have the name Christian because we profess the gospel, but too many times our lives do not reflect the glory of God. I hope that this is not true here at CBBC. However, let me offer this. George Gallup was addressing a national seminar of Southern Baptist leaders and shared this information. We find there is very little difference in the ethical behavior between churchgoers and those who are not active religiously. The levels of lying, cheating, and stealing are remarkably similar in both groups. 8 out of 10 Americans who consider themselves Christians, Gallup said, could only identify a little bit about the Bible. For instance, many of them and most could not tell you who gave the Sermon on the Mount. And fewer still could recall 5 of the 10 commandments. And only 2 in 10 said they would be willing to suffer for their faith. Again, I hope this is not true of our church, because we see that even though Gallup is a respected polling organization, I do realize that there are flaws in it. But if you think about it, these statistics are really scary. You see, a fully devoted follower of Christ, I would think, should have a little better testimony than those in the world if they are living their lives as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Now, I want to tell you that not being totally devoted to God, to me, screams selfie. And I think we have to ask ourselves, what can we do to ensure that we are living sacrifices? We might begin by asking some questions. One might be, who am I really living for? If people were to watch my behaviors, who would they say I am living for? What is my ultimate goal in life? What do I get excited about and share with others about I want to be or I want to have or I want to do? I think before we think about this, truly we need to remind ourselves of some scriptures that may help guide our thinking. The first one is from Philippians 1:21. It says, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain." 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Matthew 6:33, one of my life verses, says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Live as children of light." Ephesians 5:15 through 18 says, "Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the Lord's will is, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. You see, these scriptures and many more tell us how to give our lives to God as living sacrifices. Basically, it means that we live for Him. And in all ways, giving Him glory, not loving selfies. When we are faced with the circumstances or decisions in life where we are challenged to make a choice, we need to choose His way. You see, the means we choose to crucify our selfish desires and then choose to bring glory to God. Let me give you an illustration of one of the most famous lines in all of history. It comes from the 19th century naturalist Henry David Thoreau. He said, if a man does not keep pace with his companions, perhaps it is because he hears a different drummer. Well, Bible teacher and scholar H.A. Ironside said, in commenting on Thoreau's famous line, the Christian may well say he hears a different drummer only if their inner ears have been attuned to the music of the heavens. Then they will hear a drumbeat of heaven. And what Ironside was really saying is that Christians must appear to the world to be out of step with all that goes on down here if it's contrary to the leadership of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. It's sad to say that sometimes it's impossible to distinguish those who call themselves Christians from those who don't. They think, speak, and act like the average non-Christian. On the other hand, believers who are filled with the Spirit will not feel at home with the world's philosophies and practices. They will resist conformity to unholy standards, even though such a position is unpopular and may cause them to be ridiculed. They realize that as citizens of heaven, they are in the world but not of the world. They show their conduct by their conduct and their attitudes the truth of that beloved old spiritual. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. You see, they marched to a different drummer. Eric Liddell did just that in the early 80s. His story was made famous in a film, you may remember it, called The Chariots of Fire. It's based on a story about Eric Liddell, a devout Scottish Christian missionary and athlete who ran for the glory of God. Eric Liddell was forced to choose between his religious beliefs and competing in an Olympic race. After refusing to run in his favorite and favored 100-meter heat because they were holding it on Sunday, Liddell decided then to compete in the men's 400, where he was not favored. He ran that race in the Paris Olympics, and even though he was not favored to win, you might expect it, he did. He won the race and received the gold. His story about being a living sacrifice reached totally millions of people because of his willingness to be a sacrifice for God, to be acceptable in His sight, to be holy in all of His dealings. We find that today this one film, it listed on the top 100 British films, it ranks 19th of all times. And the title of this film came from 2 Kings 2:11 and 6:17. Most important about this whole story, though, was Eric Liddell knew whose he was and chose to be a living sacrifice before receiving the rewards of a running world. In his willingness to sacrifice the gold for the 100 meter, God raised him up to win the gold for the 400 meter when no one thought he could. His message of being a living sacrifice reached a lost world. Even today, the song title and the song and the lyrics for that particular movie is really popular. Christians, seriously this morning, we are told to walk just as Christ walked. If we are walking in step with the world, we must confess we're out of step with heaven. He who walks with God will be out of step with the world. And our ultimate goal should be to make at least four choices. The first one is, we need to choose to make a difference in our lives and with our lives. We need to choose to be living sacrifices and to be all that God wants us to be. You see, 2 Corinthians 5:17 reads, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." We're not the same person we used to be. We're not to live as we lived before. We must choose to be a living sacrifice in order that we might reap all the benefits of living that abundant life that God wants us to have. The second thing is we must choose to make a difference in our conduct. Romans 13:11-14 says this, "Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for flesh to fulfill its lust." I will tell you, I served in the military for many, many years. No one in here can tell me what that environment can be like sometimes. The temptations, the goings on, the things that are said in earshot. I really know. And my faith was challenged often. But I will tell you that if we commit ourselves to really be the kind of living sacrifices, those people living in the world will be attracted to a new kind of life. The third thing we need to do is choose to make a difference in our companionship. 2 Corinthians 6:4-17 says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord." We should have different companions, ones who will encourage us, not entangle us. We have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. You see, I want you to remember this analogy, if you will, this morning. It's about a boat in the water. You see, it's not a problem when the boat is in the water, but it's a great problem when the water gets in the boat. We really have to realize that sometimes we live in this world, we're taking on water. And it comes in little by little. You may have been there. You may have accepted Christ in your life at one time and something happened and you didn't go to church for a long time or came back. The reason that we get lost when we're saved is because we let water in the boat. And it starts rising until finally we are sunk. You see, this idea of letting water in your boat is one that should challenge all of us. The fourth thing is choose to make a difference in your conversation. Colossians 4:6 says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know you ought to answer, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." You see, again today, as we see the Word of God, as we hear, "Therefore, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable," we have to make a decision in our Christian walk. Every day, we have to say, "Lord, I want to be a living sacrifice. I want to live a holy life, acceptable to you." It reminds me of a sermon preached by a great Southern Baptist preacher named R.G. Lee. I've read his sermon many times. He has a sermon titled, "Payday is Someday." And I wish I was articulate enough and capable enough to deliver it like he did. But the ultimate message is that every day we make choices as Christians. We choose not to, we choose to. We choose not to, we choose to. We come. But I will tell you, for everyone, those who have accepted Christ and those who haven't, payday is someday. And we know the scriptures that say, in the end, when the earth shall fall away and everything else is gone, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. It didn't say maybe. It didn't say if. It didn't say if these things come together, if these countries align. He says that one day every knee shall bow. And so the question for us is it today that you bow? Is it today you bow, or is it someday down in the future? You see, it's a choice. Our Heavenly Father loves you. He really wants you to be all that He has called you to be. He wants to raise you up. He wants to lift you out of the circumstances of your life. He wants to demonstrate the joy of living in that peace that passeth all understanding. He wants to modify your life. He wants to create that newness in you to become in His perfect image. This is the will of God for all of us. But it's a choice. Ask yourself, am I living a life that's more in line with selfies? Or am I really living a life as a sacrifice to a holy and powerful God? And then may the spirit of Eric Liddell and the spirit of many living sacrifices down through the ages, as they have risen up to hear that drumbeat of heaven to do differently than the world has called them to do. It's all about a matter of choice. And this morning you have another choice. As we sing this hymn of invitation, you have a choice. But before we sing, I wonder if you'd stand with me and let us pray together.